This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series.
Mowrkim's War by Joe Jackson. Part 1 of 3. General Montague walked the echoing halls of the palace as fast as he could without running. Despite the urgent nature of the news, he couldn't give the impression that he was caught out of sorts at all. One of the first rules of serving as a general in the prince's army was to never let anyone see you sweat or look lost. Calm and decorum had to be maintained at all times, all the better to keep the common folk from ever being aware of even dire situations.
"But we've caught him at last," he thought, the triumphant roil in his gut threatening to make him overlook that very rule. For months now, the kingdom of Kashmi had been under attack by a rather clever army of gnoll marauders. At first, the hyena men's attacks had been shocking and spectacular enough to drive the peasants of the unprotected outer regions before them. As refugees flooded into the walled cities, with tales of the bloodthirsty savages pillaging and burning the villages in their path, panic had swept the borderlands. The gnolls had ever been savage outsiders, but for them to launch a full-scale invasion was something General Montague, much less the prince and his advisors, had never expected. It was only as the spearhead lost momentum and the attack slowed that their truth came to light. It was no invading army, but a band of perhaps 10 gnolls causing such widespread chaos. And those 10 men had served the will of a single gnoll. Cunning and fairly tactically brilliant, if Montague was being fair, but a gnoll nonetheless. And his brilliance had paled next to that of Prince Josiah. As Montague approached the grand staircase that descended to the castle's main floor, General Stourick fell into place beside him and punctuated his thoughts.
"Hard to believe this brilliant gnoll walked right into our trap, isn't it?"
It certainly was. The gnoll had evaded capture for months, turning his forces this way and that to avoid direct conflict with the larger cities or garrisons. By the time the prince's army responded to his attacks, he and his men were usually far gone, moved off to find another soft part of Kashmi's belly to slice their claws into. It was only when the prince let it slip that he was planning to take the field himself near the city of Geishwin that their enemy made a mistake. He turned directly toward a confrontation with the prince himself, and the simple trap had caught him with little difficulty, or even bloodshed. And that concerned Montague. He sighed.
"To be honest, Blake, I've been turning that thought over in my mind since I heard the news. That's why I want to be there when the prince questions him. I'm sure there's got to be more to this than we're seeing. I'm sure Prince Josiah sees it too."
"Are you thinking the same thing I am, Reggie?"
"That this gnoll wanted to be captured?"
General Stourick nodded.
"I just can't for the life of me figure out why. What purpose would it serve? Surely he knows the prince is going to kill him for what he's done. Does he just want to be a martyr to his people? Or is there something greater at work here?"
"The fact that he was taken alone concerns me the most," Montague said.
"Indeed. The prince seems content that his trap was simply that good,"
Stourick agreed.
"But considering how long this fool's band avoided direct conflict with our army, this has to have been a calculated move on his part, no?"
They both bobbed their heads silently and continued on. Down a dark and winding stairway to the dungeons they went, the air turning cool and damp as they descended. Montague wished he could say the dungeons didn't see much use these days, but there were always those who fell out of the prince's favor, and that number had only multiplied as the gnoll's victories had initially snowballed. The general had to wonder how many of his fellow officers had seen the captive Knoll paraded past their cells as they awaited the prince's judgment. Prince Josiah was waiting at the entrance to the dungeon, and he smiled broadly when the two generals approached.
"Ah, gentlemen," he said, "so good of you to come."
"Congratulations on your victory, my prince," Montague said, echoed by Staurik. Josiah nodded graciously.
"Thank you, gentlemen, but a plan is only as good as the men who see it put into action. In this case, you have my gratitude. Come, let us go see what this fool Knoll will tell us now that we have him."
They followed him into the dungeon proper. The dungeon's central circular room was lined with some of the court nobles, which put a knot in Montague's stomach immediately. He glowered at the glorified peacocks, no doubt here to puff up their prince's pride and try to find his favor, praising his brilliance and diligence in defending the kingdom. They were here for a spectacle and to be one in turn for their prince. Despite Prince Josiah's better qualities, Montague feared he understood what was going on here. Montague and Staurik both stopped just inside the door and stepped to either side, their hands to the hilts of their ceremonial swords, as custom dictated. They stood rigid, as a guard might when a superior passed by them, and made sure everyone else there likewise showed some token of respect to the prince. They went so far as to salute Josiah when he glanced their way, but though he returned their salutes as the head of the military, he did so absently, moving to half-sit, half-kneel on a bench to stare at the Knoll before him. The nobles around the perimeter, too, showed a casual disdain for the generals, farther knotting Montague's stomach. Something was off with the prince's behavior, and the general had no doubt the presence of the fops and ladies around the perimeter were the cause. Even from the first glance of Josiah and the Knoll staring at each other, there was quite a disparity between the two men at the center of the chamber. Montague wondered if this Knoll might be a prince or a king among his people. He had a grace and dignity about him despite the position he was in, as though the indignity of his imprisonment and its conditions held no weight in his mind, such as it was. Had this perhaps all been a plot to gain the ear of a Cashmerian monarchy? If so, it was a terrible way to go about it, as Montague had little doubt the prince was already planning to execute the Knoll once he'd gotten some answers, and perhaps had fun entertaining his courtiers and nobility in the process. Josiah was dressed in court finery, even down here in the dingy dungeon, all deep purples and gold embroidery, an absolute statement as to his position for anyone in Kashmir that looked upon him. The Knoll, by contrast, stood chained to an inquisitor's square, his wrists and the thin ankles of his digitigrade legs manacled and held tight enough that he could scarcely move. More than that, he'd been stripped bare, showing off his bloodied, dirty, golden-spotted coat that completed a Knoll's hyena-like appearance. The charcoal hands, ears, feet, and snout served to highlight the normal color of his coat. More prominently, though, being bare showed off his privates, which Montague had little doubt would be the subject of the improper whispers of the court's ladies, and some of the men, for some time. What held the general's attention, though, were the Knoll's eyes. Though the hyena man had bestial golden eyes, there was something far more in them. It went even beyond canniness, beyond understanding his circumstances, and showing no fear of them or the prince who held the Knoll's fate in his hands. It was a look the general had seen before, something his tactical mind and wary nature picked up on immediately, and nearly demanded he point out to his prince and fellow general. The closest comparison he could make was when someone was about to lay down a crushing hand of five card when everyone else thought he was bluffing. But is he truly planning something else? Or is he just stupid? Gnolls weren't the brightest creatures. Sometimes they flirted with being civilized, but they seemed to prefer to live out in the wilds, like the early settlers of Kashmi. Montague was about to ponder their love of war paints when the next out-of-place thing struck him. The dung. Gnolls were considered filthy creatures, but contrary to what circulated the streets of Kashmi's cities and even its royal court, they didn't paint themselves with excrement. They smelled musky on account of their coats, but in Montague's experience, they weren't as dirty as people made them out to be.
"I suspect it was one of our people who did this to him," he thought, but kept his mouth closed for the time being.
The only thing worse than accusing the prince of having such a thing done would be to do so in front of the nobles and cause Josiah any extra embarrassment. He was a patient man most of the time, but not when he was embarrassed, something the many officers currently sitting nearby in prison cells could attest to.
"So good of you to join us, ladies and gentlemen," the prince said at length to the self-important charlatans around the edge of the chamber. "I've spent a great deal of time thinking of how to deal with our guest, though I suspect his input will be limited on account of his inability to speak a civilized language."
There was laughter around the room, but the general didn't join in.
"Your Highness," Montague offered, but then paused.
"What is it, General?"
Montague looked at the gnoll, who had finally turned his eyes away from the prince. There was no doubt about it now, meeting the man's gaze. There was a depth there the prince thus far couldn't or didn't want to see.
"Sire, he understands what you're saying, and probably everything else that's been said in his presence since these nobles came down."
Josiah rose from his bench and strode closer, just far enough away that even the longest lunge from that fang-filled muzzle couldn't reach him.
"Is that so, beast?"
The gnoll didn't answer but to smirk, and the prince snapped his fingers at one of the guards standing around the room's perimeter.
"Bring the woman, then," he ordered, drawing the first look of concern Montague had seen from the gnoll. "Let's see just how much he does understand."
A woman was brought in from one of the prison wings, a borderlander from the look of her. Her face was marred with bruises and dried blood, as though she'd been punched numerous times, and a twinge of doubt went through Montague's stomach. Did the gnoll do that, or did the prince have it done? By the way the prince grabbed one of her shackled wrists and yanked her over to him, the general thought he knew the answer. He swallowed uneasily. This wasn't the Prince Josiah he knew.
"Did you defile this woman?"
Josiah demanded. The gnoll's features hardened as he turned his attention from the woman to the prince.
"It would seem you have, Your Highness,"
he said, with an admirably unaccented command of Kashminian.
"I never put my hands to this woman. She served as my quarters maid during the campaign, and nothing more."
"It is not your hands that concern me, filthy as they are," the prince returned, drawing chuckles from the peacock gallery around the perimeter. "I cannot help but think, by the way you look at her and the way she looks at you, that you have defiled her at some point. It seems we'll have to be rid of her, just as we will soon be rid of you."
"No!"
the gnoll protested.
"Leave her be!"
"I thought as much," Josiah said, turning his gaze to the chained woman. "What is your name, whore?"
"I am not a whore,"
she spat with the customary defiance of a borderlander. While they were technically part of the kingdom and usually paid their taxes, they tended to live on the fringes of Josiah's rule, in both the figurative and literal senses.
"You chose to lie with an enemy of our kingdom, and a beast at that. I think whore is being generous. Now, tell me your name before I have it beaten out of you."
Montague grimaced, but found it hard to fault Josiah for being cruel to this woman if she truly lay with the enemy, regardless of their race. To do so with a gnoll, though, would be seen as treason on several different levels. The woman looked at the guard beside her, and his hand curled into a fist.
"Wendra, Your Highness. I am Wendra of Allerton."
"Allerton? A village this creature destroyed. And yet you became attached to him. Do you even know his name, or merely the feel of him?"
"We never—"
she started, but the prince silenced her with a stare. Wendra met the gnoll's eyes, but then looked down at the floor.
"I don't know his name, Your Highness. I know only that his people call him Markim."
"Is that some title?" Josiah asked, turning back to the gnoll, who nodded, the twinge of a smile playing across his muzzle. "Are you a king, then, or just a terrible general?" More chuckles from the nobles and guards, though the gnoll's expression didn't change.
"I am Markim. You will learn what it means, prince, but not until it is far too late."
"What is your aim in all this?"
"My aim was, and remains, to destroy your kingdom."
Josiah laughed, his echo gallery joining with him. It was starting to feel like a badly written play to Montague, who watched, paralyzed, knowing something was coming, but unable to muster the nerve to stand up to his prince. 200 gnolls against an entire kingdom of men. There was something else behind it. Was it the sorcery the gnolls were said to wield? Did this creature plan to summon a demon or some other hellish trickery upon Josiah and his people? And most importantly, why? Josiah was having too much fun trying to lord his authority over a savage and wasn't thinking with his typically shrewd and slightly ruthless objectivity. And there would be no farther answers just yet. Despite his laughter, the prince rose and took the cudgel from his guardsman's belt. "In that, beast, I'm afraid you've already failed," he said, and then clubbed the gnoll unconscious with a single, well-placed blow. Montague wasn't sure which was more impressive, the blow or the fact that the Markim never even flinched.
Joe Jackson currently has a 9-book fantasy series, The Eve of Redemption, with the 10th book due out June 1st. Markim's War appears in the published anthology Beyond the Shadows, Volume 1, a grimdark anthology. Be sure to find him on Amazon or connect with him on Facebook. Links in the show notes. Well, that was part 1 of 3. You guys really need to check back this Friday for the second part. This story is amazing. You won't regret it. In the meantime, if you enjoyed Joe Jackson's writing style, not too long ago I narrated another story by him called Dragon's Honor. I'll be sure to leave a link down in the show notes for that as well. But really, you don't want to miss where this story is headed. So if you haven't subscribed, make sure to do so before you leave. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.